We're learning the Sicha on Parshas Bechukosai in Chelek Chav Beis on page 166. The Shir today is being learnt L'Nishmas Rabbi Yosef Ben Yamin Ben Rabbi Menashe Koltman. This Sicha is also a Hadrin on Masechta Erechin, and the Sicha will be discussing the Gemara at the end of Masechta Erechin, which discusses the Halacha of a Zdei Achedem. What is a Zdei Achedem? So when it comes to being makdish, declaring any property that you have, that it should be given to hekdish, you makdish something, there's a unique way of how you can be makdish something, which is called to be machrim, chayrem. Generally, chayrem is a term that could be actually used in a negative context, as the Rebbe will bring later. But chayrem means you want to separate or not associate with something. And when a person declares his property to be chayrem, so the halacha is as follows. If you just declare it to be chayrem, it then will belong to the kohanim. If you specify, so then this property, if you say you want it to be a chayrem for the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes chayrem hekdish to be used for the funds of the Beis HaMikdash. Or if you other specifications, then the chayrem will take place as you specified. But a stam chayrem, the property will go to the kohanim. That's the halacha of the chayrem that the Rebbe will be discussing here in the Sicha. And more specifically, the discussion in the Sicha will primarily be regarding a kohen, his ability to declare a property of his as chayrem. When you learn the Mishnah in Erechin, it seemingly and simply says that this way of declaring something hektish, by declaring it as a chayrem, is not possible for a kohen to do regarding his properties. But here though, based on the Gemara in the end of Erechin and the Rambam, the way he brings this Gemara, the Rebbe will prove and explain how and when even a Kayin can declare his property as a Chayrim. Now the Sicha here opens actually with another halacha regarding Hektish, and this is the regular Hektish of a Zdei Achuza. Now what does this mean? A person owns a property of inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, and he declares it Hektish. What happens with this property? Hektish is not in the business of real estate. So what happens with this is either the person will redeem it back and pay the money in exchange for this, and the Bezdin uses the funds for whatever they need it for, or someone else will redeem it from the Hektish, in other words, buy it off of Hektish, or it remains in the possession of Hektish. So the halacha is, if the person did not redeem his property back, someone else redeemed it, or it remained in the property of Hektish. When Yovel comes, the 50th year, where in this, or actually last week's parasha, in Parshas Bahar, we learn about Yovel, that's the year when all properties that were sold are returned to their owner. What happens to this property that a person gave to Hektish when the year of Yovel comes and he did not redeem it? It's still in the possession of Hektish, or perhaps someone else redeemed it. It does not go back to the original owner like all properties in Yovel. That property will be released from the one that bought it or from Hektish, and it will be granted to the Kayanim that are serving at that time in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the unique halacha of a Zdei Achuza, a property of inheritance that a person was Maktish when the year of Yovel comes. It goes out and gets distributed to the Kayanim. That's the halacha that the Rebbe opens up within the Sicha here. And then, as I said, the Rebbe will go into the Siyam of Masechta Erechin. There's a lot of new halachas that I'm sure you'll be learning here throughout the Sicha. As we go along in the Sicha, I'll try to explain as much as possible every detail of what the Rebbe is talking about here. So let's begin. When one declared the property of his inheritance to be Hektish, so now this is a property that's owned by the funds of Hektish, on a hotis nidgoel given, and he did not redeem it. Other the gizbar otis verkauft zu an anderen. Or what happened was, the caretaker, the gizbar of the Hektish, sold his property to someone else. What happens now when the year of Yovel comes? Steht in Pasuk, the Pasuk tells us, Vahoya hasada betzeisa biyovel, kodesh lashem. It'll be with this field, when it leaves from the one that has it now, the year of Yovel, it's going to be Kodesh Lashem. What does that mean, Kodesh Lashem? Kistei Achedem Lakoyen Tia Achuzasei. Similar to the Zdei Achedem that, as mentioned before, when you declare a property to be Chedem, it belongs to the Kayin. Similarly here, in the year of Yovel, this property will go to the Kayin. It'll become the Kayin's inheritance. As is Geit Dereisa the Kayinim, this property leaves from wherever it is now to be by the Kayinim, be Yovel in the year of Yovel. Punkt, via Zdei Achedem, was vertgegeben zu Kayinim. Just like the Zdei Achedem that belongs to Kayanim. Siyum Masechet Erechin. In the last piece of the Gemara in Erechin, stellt sich die Gemara auf die Werte. The Gemara there stops on the words of the Pasuk, Kisdei Acherem Lakoyen Tiach Zosei. Like the Sdei Acherem, this property that was declared hektish and was not redeemed, it goes out in Yovel to the Kayan as well. Und fragt, the Gemara asks, Ma Talmud Leimer, why did the Pasuk have to say these extra words of Kisdei Acherem? It could simply say that it goes out to the Kayanim. It would be understood. Why does it have to make this comparison to the halacha here that it's similar to the way it is with Sdei Acherem? Those words, Sdei Acherem, what is the teaching regarding this property that in the year of Yovel goes out and is given to the Kayanim? So the Gemara says as follows, Minayin l'koyin shehiktish stei charmai. How do I know that a Kayan that owns a property that he received from another year that declared it to be Cherem, and now this Kayan got it, and this Kayan now wants to take this property and give it to Hektish, he's makdish it. Shelo yoymar, so this Kayan shouldn't say as follows, Hoyul v'yotze l'koyanim, since this property that's now in the possession of Hektish, if it remains in the possession of Hektish, and Yovel comes, what happens? It gets released from the Hektish and distributed to all the Kayanim, as we just learned, the halacha regarding any property in the possession of Hektish at the time of Yovel, it goes to the Kayanim. Im lo yigalenu, if it wasn't redeemed when the time Yovel comes. Shaharehi shaloi kizdei achuzah. This property that the Kayan is being makdish now, he got it as a zdei chedem, it's now his, like a zdei achuzah, like any other inheritance that this Kayan owns. And right now it's in my possession. I'm being makdish it, but right now I have it. So teheshali, so let it be mine. When it goes out in Yovel, let it be mine. Let it not go out to all the Kayanim. Usually when Yovel comes and the property is released and goes to the Kayanim, who does it go to? It goes to the group of the Kayanim that were serving in the Beis HaMikdash at that time, when Yovel comes. But here this person says that it should go out to me, that I should be the one receiving it. Now, Vedinu, furthermore, he says there's a logical reason why we can say with a Kal V'chaymer that it should belong to this Kayan himself. B'shel Acherim Ani Zoyche, if there's a property that belonged to someone else, any Yid that was Makdish's property to the Hektish, and Yovel comes, and this Kayan happens to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash, so I will get a portion in this. This stei achuza of a yid that was released in Yovel that the Kayan receives. So b'shalatzmi, if this is a property that I myself am being makdish not to hektish, like kol shekein, so most definitely I should also get this property for myself. That's what a Kayan may argue and say. Talmud Loimar, that's what the Pasuk here is teaching when it says, V'hoya asada b'tzeisa b'yovel kodesh l'Hashem, the property of Hektish when it leaves in Yovel, it's kodesh, kizdei acherim chulu, and it says that it belongs to the Kayan and it compares it to the zdei acherim. Why is the Torah saying this? Bo l'lamit, it compares the zdei acherim simply as a source to compare where we find an example of a property that belongs to the Kayan. But v'nimtza l'lamit, but it actually then is coming to teach us. We learn from this Dei Achuza by a Yisrael that's distributed to all the Kayanim that we compare back and say that the same would apply over here to this Dei Acherim that the Kayan is being Makdish. Makdish Dei Charmai L'Sdei Achuza. We compare this Dei Acherim that the Kayan owns to the Halacha of the Dei Achuza. Shal Yisrael of a Yid. Ma'as Dei Achuza Shal Yisrael. Just like the Halacha of the Dei Achuza of a Yid. V'n HaKayin Otis Goel Given Fun Hektish. If a Kayan was the one that redeemed this from Hektish. As mentioned before, the Hektish owns this property and anybody can come and redeem it from the Hektish. But then what happens when Yovel comes? Even if it was a Kayan that redeemed it, Yeitze mitachas yada b'yovel u'mischalekes l'kayanim. It gets released from his hands at the time of Yovel and it's distributed to all the Kayanim that are serving at that time in the Beis HaMikdash. Av Zdei Charmai, the same will apply regarding a Kayan that's being Makdish, his Zdei Acherim that he has. When Yovel comes, Yoytze Mitachas Yodai, it leaves from the possession of this Kayan, Umischalekes Le'echav HaKayanim, and it's distributed to all the Kayanim. He doesn't, this Kayan himself does not keep it. That's the halacha that the Gemara says in the end of Erechim. Now here the Rabbi brings the Rambam that it seems is quoting the halacha of the Gemara. The Rambam Paskin, so the Rambam rules as follows. Kayin Shahoisaloi Zdei Cherem, A kohen that has in his possession a stei cherem. Now, how did he get the stei cherem? Shezocha ba achara yovel. He got it after the year of yovel. Now, that needs clarification. What does it mean he got it after the year of yovel? So let's wait and see. Vehachrima, and now this kohen decides that this stei cherem that I own, I want to go ahead and be machrimit. Harei zu muchremis. It takes effect, it becomes muchram. The status of cherem takes effect. And it goes out, it belongs to his brothers, the Kayanim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Lakayin Tia Achuzosai. That for all the Kayanim will be his property of inheritance. Right before that, it said in the Pasuk, Kistei Achayim, Lakayin Tia Achuzosai. So we compare and we learn out, Melamed, Shazdei Charmoi, Loi, Kistei Achuzali Yisrael. That Stei Achayim that the Kayan owns is similar to the Stei Achuzah. And therefore we say here as well, she'im hechrima himuchremes miyad, that if the kohen decided he wants to declare a property that he has as a stei cherem, he wants to go ahead and further declare it as a stei cherem, it will be immediately take effect to be a stei cherem. And what will happen to it? It will be distributed to all the kohenim. That's the halacha, the way that Rambam quotes this. This is the Rambam that the commentaries say is quoting the halacha of the Gemara that we just learned. Now, it's pretty clear to see that there are certain things that the Rambam says here that are different from the Gemara. Frek de Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch asks over here on what the Rambam rules. Aleph number one. From Vanit Nemt the Rambam. What's the source of the Rambam that he says? As the din yoytze le'echav ha-kayinim, that when we speak about the fact that a kayin that owns a zdei achayim in his possession, and then he wants to be makdishit, that property will later be distributed to all the kayinim, is oich when the kayin at machen given stei charmoi. That this includes also a case, not only when a kayin is declaring this property to be hektish, with the usual term of makdish to declare hektish, but he's specifically using the term of cherem. He's declaring it as a cherem. Sorry. From where does the Rambam take this the point that he says there, different from what the Gemara says, that the kayin owns the stei cherem and now he wants to again declare it to be a stei cherem? The Gemara ratachnar ven a kayin hikdish stechamai. The Gemara speaks about a kayin that's declaring hektish stechayim, not taking his stechayim and declaring it again to be a stechayim. Where did Rambam take this from? Nochmer. Furthermore, the question here is a kayin ken garnet machrezayim. A kayin with the possessions, the properties that he owns, does not have the ability, using this term of chayim, to declare it to be a stechayim. The Mishnah zokt in Friedrich and Pedic, as the Mishnah says earlier in the Pedic there in the Gemara in Erechin, Hakayanim vahalevim ein machrimim. The Kayanim and the Levim cannot declare something that they own to be a cherem. The ganze din cherem is nit shayach by Kayanim Levim, mixeres hakasav. There's a pasuk that it's learned from that what the Kayan owns should be his forever and he can't declare it to be cherem. Und says kainaf gemininit, the gvelach feldas ratzach. There's no distinction of what status of what kind of property you're talking about. See, thus is given Zayne from Frier, whether this is something that he had from before, there are those cities that the Kayanim inherited in Eretz Yisrael, that the Eibishter gave them, so that's something that the Kayanim always owned, that is, other Eretz is Bakum and Shpete, Beizlef and Shul, or it's any property or possession that he received at a later point, doesn't seem to be any distinction. Why not? Because Varam Afil Metaltlin, this halacha that a kohen can't declare anything to be chedem applies even by movable items that he owns. V'di Mishnah zokt, as the Mishnah says clearly, and v'di Rambam alein paskint in talacha shal achrize, and as the Rambam clearly says here in the next halacha, karka oy metaltelin shal kohenim olevim, whether it's properties or movable items that belong to the kohenim or levim, einon machrimim oisam. They don't have the ability to declare it as a chedem. So that seemingly implies that if metaltalim, which is something that they could buy and get at a later point, but they can't declare that to be chedem, so then that should apply also to this property that the kohen received now as a zdei chedem. He can't go and further declare it again as a chedem that it would be distributed to other kohenim. So the Rambam is saying something here seemingly against the clear Mishnah in Erchen. What's the source of the Rambam to say that, yeah, he can't be machrim any properties that he owns from before, but if it's a property that he received from another yid as a stei cherem, this he could declare as cherem. What's the source for such a distinction? Beis, the other question here is, what's the source of what the Rambam says at the conclusion of the halacha She'im echrima, when this kohen declares this stei cherem that he has as cherem, he muchremes miyad. It immediately becomes in this status of cherem and it's distributed to all the kohenim. Where does the Rambam take this from? In Gemara Vet Blois the month as Yoitzin Le'echav HaKainim, the Gemara says that this property that he declares to be a steach, or he actually, the Gemara talks about when he's makdashit, as pointed out before, that it'll be hektish, and then when Yoivul comes, and it gets released from hektish, then it leaves and it goes to the brothers of Kainim. V'nishne v'nishlash b'loshen zed, the Gemara repeats this three times, that it goes to the brothers of Kainim when Yoivul comes. But in Gemara, nowhere does it say that you learn from here that the Kayan has the ability to be machrim, a property that he got as a stei cherem, and when he's machrim, that cherem will take effect immediately and therefore will be distributed to the brothers of the Kayanim. The Gemara never says a shalacha. Gimel, the Lashon HaRambam betchilas ha'alacha. What the Rambam says in the beginning of the halacha when he speaks about the fact that the Kayan has a zdei cherem in his possession. Where did he get it from? Shezocha ba'achara yovel. That he got this property after yovel. Sounding like that a kohen only gets a zdei cherem as a result of yovel. Is in ganz nit verstandig. It's completely not understood. Yovel hot kein shaychis nit zu cherem kohenim. The year of yovel has no connection to the fact that a kohen could have a zdei cherem in his possession. A kohen is zoiche in the charamim standik. A kohen will always be zoiche in a zdei cherem that a yid declares to be cherem. As mentioned before, that's the halacha of a cherem stam, that it goes to the kohen. Sai lefnei ayoivel, sai beyoivel, and sai lachra ayoivel, whether this is before or during or after yoivel. Umvi the Rambam paskin ba halacha shel lefneiza, as the Rambam brings this in the halacha right before this halacha here. As the cherem ekayanim, hare elu nitnam lekayanim shebaise mishma b'shosha hechrim. That the cherem is, cherem ekayanim are, anytime a yid declares his property to be zdei cherem, whoever is serving the Beis Hamikdash at that time, when the cherem was declared, it goes to that kohen. So why is the Rambam here saying that the kohen got this property of a zdei cherem after yovel? This is the three questions here of the Minchas Chinuch. Sefer Rebbe attempts to answer some of the questions. Siv Beis and Siv Gimel, one question, another question. And Volke can zogin, it would be possible to say, this is mashma from a farshim, as it seems from the commentaries here on the Rambam. As vehechrimo da, when the Rambam uses the expression that the kohen has the stei cherem, and now he wants to further go and be machrimit again, meint the Rambam nit chermi kohenim. He's not referring to being machrimit, meaning to give it to that it would belong to other kohenim, as the halacha of a regular stam cherem is. Nor cherem lebede kabayis or cherem l'shamayim. We're talking over here when a person declares it and specifies that he wants it to be a cherem to be used for the funds for the construction or what's needed for the Beis HaMikdash. Or cherem l'shamayim, not for kainim, but he says specifically it should be for heaven. Was euch wegen zei retter in der halacha shelifnei zeh. About this distinction that it depends on whether you declare the cherem for this specific use is also mentioned earlier in the Rambam. The Rambam says, kain shehoiselei stay. Cherem. So here, referring to the Rambam that we're learning here, halacha vav, unkayin shehoisele zdei cherem shezocha ba'achara yevel. When the Rambam says that a kayin now has a zdei cherem in his possession, and he only got this zdei cherem after yevel, why did he only get it after yevel? Meint er oich a zdei cherem lebedek abayis. What the Rambam is referring to is a property that was declared cherem, but it didn't go to the kayin, because he specified that it should belong to the funds of the Beis HaMikdash. And then what happens when Yovel comes? Then, if it wasn't redeemed ever, it remained in the possession of Hektish, and Yovel arrives, then the Kain is the one that's Zeicha in this. And that's the property that the Rambam's talking about. But this answer, though, this answer is not smooth in the language of the Rambam. In addition to the question that still remains, the question here is, Vanit is the makir from them din in Rambam. What's the source of this halacha that the Rambam says? That we're talking here about a property that was declared as cherem for the Bedek HaBayis and then it was released in Yovel. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about a kohen that has a property of a zdei cherem and he's being makdashit. It's just a different case. Where did the Rambam take this from? It's from Siyum L'Shainai, but besides it's in the language of the Rambam himself. In the conclusion of the words of the Rambam, he says, "Melamed shestei chermoi loy." That the pasuk here teaches that the stei cherem, his stei cherem of the kohen, will belong to him, like as de achuzo, which means actually that it has to be distributed to all the kainim. But the expression that Rambam uses is stei chermai, meaning how does he have this stei cherem? Not because it was given actually as a cherem for bedek habayis, and then only by yovel it became his. Rather, it's mashma is mashma as a redveng chermi kainim, that the Rambam is speaking about a stam cherem, which is a cherem that goes directly to the kainim. And that's what the halach of the Rambam is about. So the question becomes back, how could the Rambam say that this Zdei Cherem is only Zoyche in following Yovel? Ach Stam Cherem goes directly to the Kainim. The Rebbe attempts to answer another one of the questions here, the third question, Sifale from Minchas Chinuch, that the Minchas Chinuch asks on the Rambam, this question that we just addressed here actually, the same question that Rebbe is going to try to answer now. Why does the Rambam say Shezocha Ba'achara Yovel? Is mashma from andere mefarshim. So from other mefarshim, it seems as mitiverta shezocha ba'achara yovel. When the Rambam writes that he got this property only after yovel, meinta the Rambam an ander fal. The Rambam here means another case. It's not supposed to be read together. On sedav stein, and therefore it has to be written in the Rambam. There's a word missing here. Odis is keilu vid Rambam volt geschrieben, or the Rambam is writing short, and it's as if the Rambam wrote oy shezocha ba'achara yovel. There's one case where the kain owns a stei cherem that he got directly from a yid that declared it to be a stei cherem, or another case, a property that the kain got following yovel, which is a stei achuz shel Yisrael was the Yisrael at makdish given on lepada, as the case in the opening of the sicha where a yid was makdish a property and wasn't redeemed from makdish when yovel comes, that goes to the kain. It's the second case. Now, was demult is yotzei l'kayin b'yovel, the kayin receives his property in yovel. Now, in both of these cases, is oich hazafeld, can the kayin machrim zayin, the kayin can declare this to be cherem, shemechrim yemuchrem es miyad. As soon as he declares it cherem, it becomes cherem for all the kayinim. So it's two different cases. But if this is the pshat, and the Rebbe accepts this pshat, but the question here is, favos is the Rambam medayik un makdim kayin shoysel estei cherem. So why, when the Rambam wants to talk about a case where a kain owns a property, does he begin with the case of a kain that owns a property that he got as a stei cherem directly from a yid? On additionally, b'siyim l'shaynai is the limit from pasuk zokta nor malamin shestei charmaylai. When the Rambam brings the limit of the pasuk that a kain has a power to declare a property that he has now that he got either by a stei cherem, and the Rambam before mentioned, according to these commentaries, another option that he got it from a stei achuzah from at the time of yovel. But later on, though, in the conclusion, the Rambam only mentions the limud of the possibility to be machrim by a kayin, that he has the power to do this with his stei achirim. If there are two different possibilities of how the kayin got this, why is the Rambam not mentioning that? It seems like there's something unique here with the fact that the Rambam wants to highlight the stei achirim that the kayin now got from a yid. And the language at the end, stei charmai. What is this? Okay, now going back to the first question that the Rebbe brought before that the Minchas Chinuch asks. In the Etzem Shailoi from Rambam, regarding the question itself on the Rambam here, the main question here on the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to be saying a halacha which goes against the clear Mishnah, as kayinim eim achrimin. A kayin cannot declare any property of his to be chayinim. And it doesn't matter what kind of property this is. That's what it seems. It's a gzeiris hakosef. And this is going to be actually the main focus of the Sicha. Voltman bepashtus kekent emfidin. So simply, you could answer as follows: L'da'as haRambam is dos was kainim ein machrimin karkois. The Rambam's opinion is that the fact that a kain cannot declare any property he has to be a chedem is nitzstam agzeres akosef. It's not just simply a decree of the pasuk, which would mean adin in gavre, a halacha that applies to the kainim themselves, as by kainim is nitod agans adin fun charamim, that regarding the kain, this whole mode of being makdish something with the language of cherem does not apply. When they use this language for the kainim, it's meaningless. Is nitod agans adin charamim, nor says adin in cheftze, in nichse akayim. Rather, this is a halacha that only applies to the actual properties themselves. That these properties that are in the possession of the kainim, there's a limitation regarding them that they will not be affected by a declaration of cherem. On this is meduyek in shinui b'loshen Rambam, and as this is, you can see this, that this is exact and precise in the words that the Rambam says here. In the Mishnah is the loshen. When the Mishnah says this halacha regarding the kayanim, it says hakayanim v'halavim emachrim. The kayanim and the levim cannot declare any other properties to be cherem. So the Mishnah is clearly speaking about the Kayanim and Levian themselves, saying that there's a Gzeiras HaKasav, taking away their ability, like Yidden, to use this expression of Chayrim to declare something to be Chayrim. But in the Rambam Shraib, however, the Rambam says, Karka, in the Talklin, not talking about the Kayanim and Levian themselves, talking about the property or the movable item, Shel Kayanim and Levian, that belong to the Kayanim and Levian, Einam Machrimim Oysam. They are excluded of a Chayrim taking effect on them. That's the way the Rambam puts it. Okay, so now based on this, whether the Gzeiras HaKasav relates to the Gavra, the Kayanim themselves, that they are out of this ability to declare Chayrim, or the Gzeiras HaKasav refers to the Chefza, to the property itself, we could actually say that there's a big distinction here, and it's not even a Gzeiras HaKasav. This is something that applies uniquely to the Karka Metaltlin, a specific kind of Karka Metaltlin. What is the reason why, if we say that this is just a halacha that relates to the actual properties, the heftza of the properties themselves, what is the reason why they are excluded from this ability that they should be affected by the declaration of chayim? So the Rambam says, the pasuk says, "Bisode ki achuzas olam hu lachem," that the properties that the kainim own is an achuzas olam. It's a forever, everlasting inheritance that Hashem gave them. V'shteit by Ari Leviim. This is a pasuk that's written by the cities that the Eibishter gives to the Leviim and the Kayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So we see here that the point is that the Eibishter wants this to remain theirs forever because He granted for them this these cities, and therefore they don't have the ability to be machrim them. Und der Rebbe is der din dafke by sodos v'zenem be'etzem zeire mitzad nisimus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, we can say that this only applies to those properties that is theirs only because they got it as a gift from Hashem. The sodos in Ari Leviim un v'syarshem Aviim. The properties that are from the cities of the Leviim that Hashem gave them and that they inherited from their ancestors. Umenigeya, these sodos is neshayach as mezol zeh machrim zayin. It's regarding these properties that you cannot declare them chayim, to give them up in that way, because it's supposed to be achuzah soilam. Val durch dem vet nifka achuzah fun zeh, because then you are nullifying, taking away the status of it being an inheritance for them. Va toira omra, and the toira says achuzah soilam hulam, that this should be an everlasting inheritance for them. Aber astei chayim vosa koyinat bakumen, but a property astei chayim that a koyin has received as a gift, vibalt das is nit achuzah soilam. This teichedim that a kohen receives is not an inheritance of his. Canada's machrim zayin. This is something that not the Eibishter gave you this portion here. Someone else gave this to you as a gift by declaring it chedim, and it goes to the kohen. So this is something that the kohen does have the ability to be machrim it. Okay, so that's seemingly a answer for the Rambam. Again, if you would say that the halacha that a kohen cannot be machrim is a gzeiras hakasav for the Gavre, then there's no exceptions to this. The language chayim has no effect when a kohen says it, regardless of what type of property it is. But if it's a halacha only relating to the chefze of the karka that the kohen owns, then we could say that this only refers to those properties that he actually inherited and received as a gift from Hashem. But not this day chayim that the kohen received from a yid. Here, because it's not an achuzas oilam, you could be machrimit. So the Rebbe says, "Das is abul chayde oich nit maspik." This explanation for the Rambam, though, is not yet sufficient. In other words, the Rebbe is accepting the basic point here that, according to the Rambam, this is a halacha pertaining to the chefze, the properties themselves, and not excluding the kainim, the gavra, of this possibility. However, the explanation given here for the distinction regarding this day chayim, that this day chayim is excluded from the regular properties that a kohen inherited, and they could be declared as day chayim, the explanation given here is insufficient. Varom, because the fizeh, according to this explanation, is thus was the kohen kem machrim zayin, the fact that the kohen has the ability to declare chayim, these properties that he received as a chayim, is a snitval siste charmai. It's not because of their status that he has, that this is the kohen owns it as a stei chayim. The fact that it came to him by the means of a stei chayim that a yid gave it to him, that's irrelevant. Nor vaziz nit achuzasay. The main point here is, it's not an inheritance. Nit achuzas olam shaloi. It's not his inheritance that Hashem gave him here in this city that Eibishter granted to the kohenim and the Leviim. That's the main point there. So now this doesn't fit into the language of the Rambam. Hat der Rambam gedacht madgish sein. So if so, the Rambam should be highlighting here this point. Nit koyin shoyseloy stei chedem. The Rambam shouldn't be saying that the koyin that owns a property and he got it, how? Because it's a stei chedem. That's not the main point. The fact that he got it by a stei chedem is irrelevant. Nor as a sretzach vegan akarka versus nit achuz asaylemoy. The Rambam should be saying a kohen that owns property and it's not one of those properties of the cities that Hashem gave the kohenim and levim or he inherited from his ancestors, he's able to declare it chedim. It's not excluded from this din of chedim. And the Rambam should be using a language something like this. Kohen she'aseloi sadeh she'zocha bo miYisrael, a kohen that now owns property that he got from a yid in any way, regardless of if you got it as a stecherim or in any other way, other or some similar language that Rambam should be saying. Why is the Rambam specifically highlighting and saying that the Kohen now has a stecherim in his possession and he's able to be makdish, or rather, sorry, he's able to be machrim, that is, this stecherim? Seems like there's something unique about the fact that the Rambam is highlighting the fact that he got it through being a cherim. Oy, besides the language of the Rambam that doesn't seem to be making this point, this distinction, this explanation we said before. In addition, in the Etzem Svara, as the Cherem is Chal, and the Sode is Nitachuzosei Mamish. The very idea here that we explained, that the Cherem takes effect, even though our kind cannot be Machrim, but here regarding this property, the Cherem does take effect. Because this is not a property that the Kohen received as an inheritance, rather it's only a Cherem, that distinction, Tzorechim, it's difficult to accept this when you look in how the Rambam says the drasha that he quotes actually differently than the Gemara. And let's see exactly what the Rambam says here. The limud vid Rambam brings the hekesh. Stay chamoy to stay achuza. The Rambam brings the hekesh that the Gemara says that we learned that we compare the two things that are brought together in the pasuk where it says again the pasuk brought in the beginning of the sikha where it says v'hoya asad b'tzeisa b'yovel kodesh l'Hashem kizdei acherem l'koyin tia achuzosai, comparing the stei acherem and the achuza. So how does the Gemara brings this drasha, right? And is so if we look at the Rambam, the way he brings this drasha comparing this stei acherem to this stei achuza is b'teichen hofchi v'yadizim Gemara. The Rambam actually brings it with an opposite approach than the way it is in the Gemara. Why is that? The Gemara zogt, what the Gemara says is, makish techarmai l'sdei achuzah shel Yisrael, we're comparing the stei achedem that the Kohen now wants to be makdish to the halacha of the stei achuzah that a yid is makdish to hektish. Just like the stei achuzah that a yid dedicated to hektish, when yovel comes, it gets distributed to all kohenim. The same with the stei achedem that the kohen will be makdish, he's not going to get it. It'll be distributed to all kohenim. So what is the Gemara here referring to in this hekesh? This haste. What this means is melanet up stei chamoy from stei achuzah shel Yisrael. What we're comparing over here in the stei chedem that a kohen has to the stei achuzah by a yid, velcha the kohen at payde given mena hektish, which the kohen redeemed from hektish before yovel came. A yid was makdish to stei achuzah, and then a kohen came and redeemed it. The point here is that it will not be his. He will have to give it away when Yovel comes to all the Kohenim. The same as with the Stei Acherem that he declared to be Hektish, and when Yovel comes, it will be released to all the Kohenim and not to him. So the comparison over here is regarding the fact that he does not have the possession and the power over this Stei Acherem, similar to the Stei Achuzah, when Yovel comes. In the Rambam, however, is the Lashon. The Rambam, however, when he makes this comparison with the drasha of comparing the stei chedem to stei achuzah, completely different. This comparison is teaching me shestei charmoi loy kestei achuzah liYisrael. This is teaching me that the stei chedem that the kohen has now in his possession, that he does have now, is treated by him, has the same status as the stei achuzah. But mashmusa is, it seems like what the Rambam is actually saying, the bailus of stei chamoy, the Rambam is focusing on the level and the status of the ownership that the kohen has on this stei chedem. Punkt, vi stei achuzah liYisrael, that it's similar to the stei achuzah of a yid, the kind of status and definition or the nature of the ownership that a Yid has over any property of inheritance. Similar, a Kayan that has a state chayden, the nature of his ownership is the same. That just like a Yid could be machrim this property, so too a Yid, a Kayan that is, could also be machrim this state chayden. That's the drasha that the Rambam seems to be saying. So this is completely different than what the Gemara says. It's not talking about when it leaves in the year of Yovel, who does it go to, that this Kayan will not receive it. On the contrary, over here we're speaking about when a Kayan has this Sdei Chedem in his possession, the nature of his possession or an ownership over it is similar to the nature of the ownership of the Yid, that just like the Yid could give it away, it could be Machrimit, so too the Kayan could be Machrimit. So if that's the case, the Rambam is not at all saying anything of what we said before, that the Stei Chedem is different than the Stei Achuza that a Kohen inherited. The Stei Achuza, he cannot be Machrim. The Stei Chedem, he could be Machrim. The Rambam seems to be saying something completely different. That the Drash of the Pasuk is teaching me that we compare the nature of ownership of the Stei Chedem to a Stei Achuza of any, just like the Stei Achuza of any Yid, he has the power to declare it to be Chedem, so too the Stei Achedem of a Kayin, he has the power to declare it to be Chedem. The Kayin has the power to declare it to be Chedem. So the question though is, how can we make this comparison? If the Mishnah says, and we learn from another Pasuk, that no, we do not compare the Stei Achedem of a Kayin to the Stei Achuza of a Yid, because by a Stei Achuza of a Yid, he has the ability to declare it Chedem. A Kayin is excluded. So why is the Rambam over here saying that we compare these two? Okay, so the focus over here is, let's take one point of all of this, what the Rebbe is going to focus on answering the Pshat in the Rambam. We clearly see here in the Rambam that even though there is a halacha that a Kayin cannot declare his properties to be Chedem, or even metaltlin, even movable items as well, however, there's an exception here. When the Kayin owns a Stei Chedem, or if he got this property after Yovel, when it was released from the Hekdesh, that kind of a property, the Kayin could declare as Chedem. But the explanation for why this is not clear. The explanation we gave here in Sif Dalet is not the right explanation, as we can see from the language of the Rambam and the way the Rambam says the Hekdesh. So what is the basis for this distinction? So we could say that the explanation for all this is behaktim was the chinuch is masbir the sharshe a mitzvah from dinei charamim, by first quoting what the chinuch says regarding the root of the mitzvah of charamim. What is behind this mitzvah? What is the reasoning behind this mitzvah? So the chinuch here says as follows: the fi she Yisrael hu ha'am asher bochar akel avidosai. The Yidden are the nation that Hashem chose to serve Him, ola hakish shmai, and to recognize Hashem's name. And they are not under the dominion of any of the constellations that Hashem has given or has placed as being in control over all the other nations of the world. The Yidden are under the dominion of Hashem Himself, without any intermediary of any angel or any other constellation. As the Pasuk says, Ki chelek Hashem amai, Yaakov chevel nachlasa, Yidden are the portion of Hashem and they are His inheritance. So therefore, loy tanuach bem rak toive v'shefa broche, it will only rest upon Yidden goodness, a flow of blessing, v'ruach nedivu atara tismechem, and a spirit of generosity and purity will be there to support Yidden. Yidden are under this umbrella of Hashem's goodness. V'ha-hepech, anything that's the opposite of this, v'hi ha-me'era v'ha-chedem, this includes anything that's cursed or anything that is chedem. Now, chedem means something which is removed, or usually it's even used in the terms of an excommunication, something that's completely separated. Aleveyem v'seineyem shel Yisrael. This is something that can be possible only by those that are the enemies and hate Yidden, but not by Yidden. By Yidden, there's nothing in their possessions and their properties that can have this kind of status of being in a level of me'era and chedem, something which is cursed. Val kain, so therefore, ki yikza ruach achad mehem, when a person gets angry, or under any duress, v'yaitzi mipiv, loshen klolo v'chedem al memoine v'karka isov, and he utters out of his mouth an expression regarding his properties that chedem, which means I separate this from me, I don't want this. Shehem tachas abracha, and they are really just blessed because it belongs to a Yid, and which belongs to Hashem. So really this expression cannot have any effect on the properties of a yid. Hoidiyo yakosev, the pasuk here tells us, with this kind of declaration of cheren, which is negative, you cannot remove it from its possession of blessing in the property of a yid to another possession. If you should call Hashem Yisrael, everything that belongs to a yid, shem chelik Hashem Yisbarach, which is Hashem's portion, loyhu, it belongs to Hashem. Umashakana eved, kana rabbi. What a servant owns, the master automatically owns, as the halacha is regarding an eved, that whatever he owns belongs to his master. So the yidden being Hashem's servants, whatever yidden own belonged to Hashem. So therefore, really, the declaration of cheirem should not have any effect. So now what is the halacha of cheirem, though, here that the pasuk says, when a yid declares something cheirem, it does become holy and it's distributed to the kainim. Avon mikol makayim, however, acha sheyedainu bema, since we know and see the truth here. It was the intention of the one that said this expression, that I don't want this property. His intention was to take it out of his possession. It's the right thing to fulfill his desire. And let it be returned to his master, which is to Hashem. And it should become holy, belonging to Hashem. Since this was his desire, so therefore it will take effect. And how will it take effect? Not in the negative sense in his declaration that he sat out of duress and used this negative term of cheirem, but actually the effect will be that it will become holy and it will belong to the kainim. It's based on this idea that our sages tell us, that we learn from the pasuk, shekol hashel levim ulekayinim, ben karka ben metaltlin, any properties or even movable items that belong to the kayanim or the levim, e machrim maysam. They do not have the possibility to declare what they own as chayrim. Kalayna, what this means is, shafila amara kayanai alevi al sadeyu, if a kayan or a levi declares regarding his property, shiyye chayrim, that it should be chayrim. Ein a nitfas klal, this does not take effect at all. Why not? So based on what the Chinuch explained before, he says now, ki hu kishaychin beis adaynov, because the kainim, the levim, they serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore whatever they own is also there, like it dwells, it's in the house of the master, the place of blessing and kindness and goodness. Whatever he owns, it belongs totally to Hashem. In a place of blessing, there is no place for this declaration of cheirem, which simply is a negative thing related to a curse. There's no place for this kind of declaration by something that's owned to by a kayin to take effect, God forbid. That's the explanation of the Chinuch. So now here, the Rebbe will explain, it's not very clear why there is a distinction between a Yisrael and a kayin. At first glance, the words of the Chinuch are not understood. That it's nitfashtandik, the chiluk tzivishna Yisrael, was ken machrim zayin, on a kayin v'levi v'sein machrimin. What's the explanation there why a yid can declare it chayrem, and even though the chayrem is something which is negative, but yet, since this is his desire, it will have an effect in a positive sense, that it will become hektish. But a kain and a levi, they use this negative word of chayrem, since it's a property of blessing, this term chayrem will not take effect. What's the difference here? Oich by Yisrael, as the Chinuch says, even by a property that's owned by a yid, is doch ei makim l'chayrem chalila. There's also no room for the negative effect of the chayrem to be on his property. As the Chinuch explained earlier, a yid cannot take his blessed property that has a connection to Hashem to another possession that's outside of that. It says blois, but then the Chinuch though explains, since we see that with the word he said, it was his intention to separate it and disassociate from this property, even though he said it in a negative sense, but nevertheless, it's the right thing to fulfill his desire that it should be disassociated from him. And what happens to it? Positive. Let it be returned to Hashem and let it become holy. That's how it works with the property belonging to a Yisrael. So why shouldn't we apply the same by a Kayin? Why shouldn't we say the same? When a kayin or levi declare chayrim, a property that they own, that the negative effect of this term chayrim will not be, but rather Since it was his desire to separate it from himself, what will happen is it will become holy, only positive. So why shouldn't we say the same by the Kayin? Even though the Kayin, yes, whatever he owns belongs to Hekdesh, but by a Yid also, whatever he owns is also in the possession of Hekdesh or in the possession of Hashem, as the Chinuch says. Nor the Chiluk is. So the difference, what the Chinuch is saying here, the difference between a property of a Yid that you could declare Chedem and a property of a Kayin that cannot be declared Chedem is as follows. Nechasim fana Yisrael, when it comes to the properties of a Yid, their connection that they have in, by the fact that we say that this is considered to be within Hashem's domain, it's Hashem's portion, is nit mitzad on in zeh gufe. It's not because of, and as far as the very property itself is concerned, that it's within the place of Hekdesh, it's dwelling in a place of Hekdesh. That's not the case. It's owned by a Yid, which is a private citizen doing his thing outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what is its special connection that it has to being in Hashem's possession? No, mitzad demidin. It's because of who the Yid is. Mashakana eved kana rabbi. Because the Yid is a servant of Hashem, so therefore whatever he owns will ultimately be owned by the master, by Hashem. But the actual property itself is not considered to be a property which is in the chelik of Hashem, like it is by the kayanim which serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore everything they have is in the domain of Hashem. But by Yidden, that's not the case. The Rebbe, so therefore, is chod, just as nidchal, that in yinachedem, heipach habroche, al anachosim. So even though the point of chedem, which is negative, opposite of blessing, that cannot take effect on these possessions, not as vert kodesh, rather, when one declares chedem, what's going to be happening is, it's only going to become holy. His negative expression that he said, chedem, out of duress, it will not take effect that way. It'll just be positive. But the question though is, this negative term that he used, chedem, how could it take effect at all? If he said a term chedem, and that term chedem cannot have any effect on this property, and what happens then is it only becomes kodesh, but there's sort of something over here that's disassociated from what the person was saying. He was saying chedem. A person was under duress and said this negative expression of chedem. That doesn't take effect. Instead, it becomes kodesh. But in order for it to be possible for us to say that we switch from the term chedem that he said to it actually being kodesh, there has to be some ability for the term chedem to have some association with this property. So therefore we say as follows. True in actuality, that term chedem cannot take effect on a property of even a yid because it's the chelik of Hashem. Not as it becomes, so therefore it becomes kodesh. But since, however, as das was the Torah is as meisim rishusay, the reason why the Torah is allowing for his words to have that effect to take it out of his possession is sibasa kavanas amachrim. The cause of this is the intention of the person that used the term chedem, the chafetz shebelibay, and the desire in his heart, which originates and is expressed with the language of chedem, was erat genutz, that he says, which has a negative connotation. Now, so why does that have any ability to even begin to have any effect with this property? It's because these properties, as far as their very status in itself, what they are, there is room for this negativity in this language to have an association with. Because the very properties themselves are not in the domain of Hekdesh. It's in the domain of a private Yid. It's just that them, by an extension, because the Yid is a servant of Hashem, it belongs to Hashem. But the very property itself is just a mundane property. So the negative connotation in the term chedem that he used to trigger this hektish is something that could connect or could associate with this property. Is halal kaponim the shem chedem of them felt. So therefore, the expression of chedem that was used could relate to this property. And furthermore, on the heipach habracha b'nechasam eile, and also the opposite of blessing that comes out as a result of using this expression, which is the opposite of blessing, will also have an effect there. B'negei adam machrim, regarding the person that declared it with this term of chedem, says yaitzim irishusay, and the fact that he loses it, that now it goes out from his ownership, so there's something negative here that's happening. The Yoshev, the Rishus Adainov, and the Yeh Kaidish, and then it returns. What happens is it doesn't actually take effect to be something negative, but what actually takes effect is that it then becomes holy and it goes back to Hashem. So again, the point here that the Rebbe is saying is that what actually happens when you declare Chayrem is that it becomes holy. Because it's a property that belongs to a Yid, that belongs to Hashem, and therefore it's impossible to take it out of its place of blessing to declare it Chayrem, that it should become something negative. However, though, what triggers and what begins this process is by the language that he used, which is with the term Chayrem. So it only if this is a property that has some aspect of it, that term of Chayrem, the negative term of Chayrem, has an association with it, that name, that term Chayrem has an association with this property, is the term Chayrem that the person used able to trigger then that it should take effect, that then it should be applied in a positive sense to be Chaydesh. This property is called a stei chayrem. So even though later it becomes hektish, which is only positive and only holy, and it goes to the kayin, but yet it's called a stei chayrem because it was triggered by this term chayrem. So the inyan of chayrem, which is the actual negativity in that term, is not what's going to actually be happening here. However, there has to be some association with the term chayrem in order for this to be able to be triggered, in order for this to be able to then cause that it should become hektish. And therefore, by Yisrael, that's possible, because the property itself is something which is not in the chelik of Hashem. And mitzadatzmai, the actual property itself. So now we understand that by the kayin and levim, this is not possible. The actual physical properties themselves, they are, since they belong to the kayin that serve in the Beis HaMikdash, it has a different status. It's like these properties themselves are within Hashem's possession. The place of blessing, kindness, and goodness. Whatever a kayin owns belongs to Hashem. The properties themselves belong to Hashem. Isn't Zayr in a chosim nitshayach afila nitshem chedim b'nigei the kayanim levim? So over here, regarding these properties, it is no association at all to any term of chedim, the negativity of the chedim at all, relating to the kayanim and the levim. This because these are properties that are completely, utterly godly. They belong to Hashem. V'zol gairim zayin diyitziyim rishusam. So therefore, you can't have that original trigger to connect to the negative term used there to then apply it, yes, in a positive way later, that it becomes hektish, but you have to have that original trigger that there should be some connection here to this negative term used regarding this property. That is impossible by a property owned by the Kayan Malavim. Now, the point that we see here, that we take out from what the Chinuch says, is that as long as there's some level of Shem Chedim, of the term Chedim, that could be associated with this property, the term Chedim will take effect. The truth is, even by a Yid, the real inyan of Chayrem, the negativity of Chayrem, cannot be applied to his property. And we're not going to be applying it, it's going to become holy. But as long as there's just an association of the term Chayrem that could be applied to an aspect of the property, that's the link that's good enough that will allow for the cause of this of these words Chayrem that are negative to trigger that it should become hektish. Now with this, the Rebbe will explain why even by a property of that's owned by a Kayin, stei chayrem that the kayin receives. So again, the point was, the question before was that a kayin cannot declare a property chayrem. That's a clear mishnah in Erechin. But nevertheless, there's a distinction. The Rambam holds that there are cases where even a kayin can declare a property chayrem. Now that we understand what is that root over here of the idea of what you need in order to be able to declare something chayrem. Because really, in other words, the whole concept of declaring a property chayrem is a chiddush, because chayrem is a negative language and it becomes hektish. So there's a chiddush over here that it becomes hektish, and that's by the fact that there's an association to this term of chayrem. So usually by kainim this is impossible, based on this reason. But there's an exception that the Rambam is teaching us here, that it is possible even by a kain, because the shem chayrem will be able to be associated to this property, even though it's in the possession of the kain. So let's see. So now that we understand that the fact that a kayin cannot declare something to be chayrim is because on a property of the inheritance of the kayin, this negative term of chayrim cannot have any association with it. So therefore we can understand now, but if this is a stei chayrim, a property of chayrim that a kayin received as a gift from a yid, see here, there is a certain element, a certain aspect of the existence of this property where it could be associated with the term of chayrim. The kayin got it from a yid that used the term chayrim to affect it. Can chal zayin of ir dem shem chedem? So if so, we could say that this term of chedem could trigger and bring about an effect regarding this property. Afilu ven ziyishayin b'rishus hakayin. Even after it enters into the possession of the kayin. Even though now it belongs to the kayin, and whatever belongs to the kayin is completely holy. But the original status of this property, which is a property that belongs to a yid, where the term of chedem could be associated with it, that doesn't change, and therefore even now when it's in the possession of the kayin is able to also trigger a hektish by using that term of chedem. That's the basis of the distinction of what the Rambam says here. Similar as the Asad Shal Yisrael, Zachabal Kayin Acha Yevel, a property of Yisrael that he was Maktish, and then the Kayin got it following after Yevel. Was the Achuza is Nitkeven Sheikhim Beis Adainov. This is not a property of inheritance of the Kayin that belongs to the Kayin, and therefore is considered to be that it dwells in the house of the master, in Hashem's house, in Hashem's possession. So therefore there is a possibility that the term of chedim should have an effect on this through a yid. This possibility remains even after the property comes into the possession of the kayin. Now, again, the point of here is we're not looking for a situation where there's actually a real connection to this negative term of chedim to this property. The truth is, even by Yisrael, that's not the case. But there's a certain aspect of the property that has a connection to this term chedem. So the negative term that the person used will trigger something regarding this property. So therefore, we can extend that and say the same thing regarding the property which is in the possession of the kayin. That even if, yes, this property does not have an association with the negative term of chedem, but there's some aspect of the property that does have an association with the negative term because it originates from the yid and the which could place upon this the term of chayim. It's not originally by the kayin completely in the reshus of Hashem. So just that aspect of the property, whatever it may be, that it associates with the term chayim is enough to now say that regarding these properties, the kayin could declare it as chayim. And this is what the Rambam is learning from the pasuk Shenemar Lakoyin. That's when, as the pasuk there says, Kizdei Achedim Lakoyin Tia Chuzosai Melamish Shestei Charmoi Loi Kizdei Achuzosai LiYisrael. That this pasuk is teaching us that the Stei Achedim that a Koyin has the same status as the Stei Achuza of a Yid. Sheim Echrima, that if he declares it Chedim, it takes effect. He Mechremes Miyat, it becomes Chedim. As the Soda Hotadin VeYastei Achuza LiYisrael. That this stei chedem that the kain has the same halacha as the stei achuza that a yid has. Nit v'achuzasai shel kain. And it's not like the property that a kain inherited that he cannot declare chedem at all. Das was the stei chedem. Adi disad shezocha ba'achara yovel. Is muchremes the reason why this property that the kain got from a yid as a stei chedem, or he got it after yovel, it originated from a yid. So and now the kain could go ahead and declare it as chedem, and it'll take effect. Is nita zoi mitzad ashlila. The reason for this is not only because of what it's not. Going back to the idea that the Rebbe suggested before, that you may say that the reason is because Hashem does not want the kayin to declare it chayin because He wants it to remain the kayin's inheritance forever, and these properties are not that. They do not have that status of being a stei achuza. It's not only for what it's not, nor rather, based on what we explained there, mitzad achiyuv. It's because of the positive aspect, the actual aspect that this property has, versus a stei charmoi. Because this is a property that has an aspect of chedim to it. Oif ir is shen chal geven shem chedim. This is a property, talking about the first scenario that Rambam says, that the kayin himself got this because of another yid that declared it to be a stei chedim. So there's definitely a strong association with this property to the term chedim. That's how the kayin got it. It has the name chedim on it. This is a property that had the possibility of chedim through another yid canal, as explained before. So therefore, this property, even after it comes into the possession of the kayin, it doesn't now have the status like a property of inheritance versus kesheichin beis adonav, which is a property that's thoroughly and completely in the possession of Hashem, and there's no association at all to the term of chedim, and therefore that term will not take effect. Well, the Rebbe ima chrima hi mochremes miyad. If a kohen will declare chayrim to this property that was a stay chayrim that he received from Yisrael, so we see that this is a property that the term chayrim could be applied to it on some aspect of it. So therefore, if the kohen now will want to be machremit, it will take effect as well. So this explains the question that I've asked before, why the Rambam highlights, even though the Rambam brings two possibilities, that it could be a stecherim that he got from Yid, or the property that he got after Yovel from Hektish, but the Rambam highlights mainly the stecherim, because the stecherim highlights this point over here, the association that this property has with the term cherim. That's, and that you see that more when it's a property that has the name stecherim. So therefore, This is the source of this idea that even the Kayin can declare this property to be Chayim and it'll become Mukhrim Miyad, it'll immediately take effect. And das is the Chiluk from the Hekish and Gemara. With this we understand the difference of the way the comparison, the way it's brought in the Gemara. In the Gemara it's a completely different drasha. The Gemara says, Mas de'achuz es shal Yisrael, yeitzim mitachas yadu mischalekas l'kayin. The Gemara that is talks about a property, a ste'achuza, that was, a person was makdish, and then it, by yovel it leaves hektish, and it gets distributed to all kayinim. Af ste'acharmoy, so to the ste'acherem, that a kayin was makdish, yeitzim mitachas yadu mischalekas l'achav a kayinim. It's distributed to all kainim. That's what the Gemara learns here. On the limb of the Rambam. And then when we look at what the Rambam is learning from the Pasuk, it's completely different. In Gemara is the limod as a bleibnit zayner. The Gemara is coming to say that this day cherem that the kain is being maktish, not declaring cherem, being maktish, and it becomes hektish. So then when Yovel comes, it does not remain this kain, this individual kainz. Nor mischalek as lechav kainim. When Yovel comes, it's distributed to all the other kainim. In Rambam is the limud, but the Rambam, though, is focusing on a completely different halacha and is learning something completely different out from this. Shestei char mailoi kestei achuza, the Rambam learns out from this that a kohen that now has a stei cherem in his possession that he got from another Yisrael, it will have the same status as a stei achuza li Yisrael. That as a stei achuza that a yid owns, that he has the ability to declare it as cherem. Shemachrima hi mochremes miyad. That if he declares it cherem, it becomes cherem right away. That's what the Rambam is saying here, mochremes miyad. He's not talking about what happens when it gets distributed after Yovel. The Rambam is discussing, does a kohen have an ability to declare cherem? And the answer is yes. In these two cases, where he got it from a Yisrael, he does. As his chalef yishem cherem, says yitzim rishusay, the shem cherem takes effect, and it leaves his possession. And as vet kodesh, b'ktushas haguf, and then there's a level of holiness that comes upon these properties. That's what the Rambam is saying, totally different than what the Gemara is saying. Now, where did the Rambam take this from? Und der Rambam nimmt das heraus von Maskanas HaGemara. The Rambam takes this from the conclusion of the Gemara. There's a discussion there in the Gemara regarding this halacha, the way the Hekish is brought originally there in the Gemara. And the Gemara there actually asks, why would we think to say that a Kohen that takes a Stecherim that he has and is Makdashit, that when it's released to Yovel, he should get it all for himself? Why should he get it all for himself? And the Kayin says he's learning it out from the fact that if another Yid gave a property of Hektish to Kayin, and then by what happens, Yovel, it goes to all the Kayinim. If I, the Kayin himself, is being Makdish, when it goes up a Yovel, for sure I should get it. But it's not the same. By the Kalvo Chaymer, in a case where another Yid is Makdish, and it's released in Yovel, who gets it? All Kayinim, not just him. So why is he thinking to say that he should get it? That's the question of the Gemara there. And the conclusion of there in the Gemara is that it's tzirich, that this hekesh here that it says in the Pasuk, comparing stei charmoi to the stei achuzosai, is actually teaching another halacha. Solkedai to chamine, and the Gemara says, I would think to say, hoyo luksev ki achuzas oilam hulahem. It says that this is a property of inheritance forever. So ha nami achuzosai hi. So I would think that this is also an achuza that is his forever. Kamash Mulan, Achuzasai, Achuzasai in Charmailoi. This that it's his forever is only the Achuza, but not Charmai. So the Gemara there is clearly saying that the Drosha is coming to teach us regarding the halacha of Achuzasailam. That this that we say that the Eivishter gives the Kainim their cities, that it should be theirs forever. This halacha, that these cities should be theirs forever, is only regarding Achuzasai. But Charmailoi. Not regarding the stei cherem that the kohen has. So what do we see over here in the conclusion of the Gemara? As mekum pe'ikke shoylo zayin, as charmoi ve'et nit achuzasai. So the point you see from the Gemara is that a property that a Kayin owns because he got it from a Yid as a stay chayrem does not become completely his like a property that he inherited. What's the significance of the difference here, relating back to the point that Rebbe said before? A property that a Kayin has as a stay achuza, the Chinuch says, is totally in the possession of Hashem. There's no association with the negative term of chayrem that could have any effect on it. A property that a yid, that a kayin that is, got from a yid by declaring it a stay chayrem, this does not become the kayin's completely. Even after it becomes the kayin's, there's still some aspect of what that property was when the yid declared it chayrem that's still here. And therefore, there is an association of chayrem with this property that could be applied to this property. And that's the basis, the source of the Rambam, that the name and the term Chayrem could have an effect on this property. That's the source of the Rambam in the Maskana of the Gemara. These are the last words, actually, in the Gemara in Erchin. So this concludes the main hasbihir of the Sikhe regarding what the Rambam is saying. What's the basis of the halacha that the Rambam says that there, yes, there is an exception where a Kohen could declare Chayrem. And higher, the Rebbe continues, Vehine l'chayre is das achidish. What's being said there is very novel. Tzumachadish zayin atam bedin, to come up with a new explanation for this halacha that a kohen can't declare chayrim. And we're bringing a reason and explaining a new pshat in the reason that the chinuch says. On apizem achadish zayin achiluk in halacha. And based on the reasoning of this din, to be machadish, a new chiluk in halacha, which is not mentioned anywhere in Gemara. In the Mishnah, it just simply says a kayin cannot declare chayrim. It seems like there's no exception to this. But now looking deeper into the din of why that is, we would just machadish a new distinction here that only applies to a stay achuza of the kayin from his cities, but not from those properties that he got from Yisrael. So this is something very unusual to take a reason like this and to create a new nafkimin al halacha because of a reason of a din. Why are we doing this here? So this is something which is unique to the nature of charamim, which belongs more broadly in the category of the inyan of erchin, where a person accepts upon himself to give a certain value of what he owns to hektish. V'yeshloimar, as das is b'shayches medem, v'as di dineis de'achuzan de'acherem, zanen in the parsha and in the mesechta erchin. This is because we're talking here about the subject of de'acherem, or de'achuza, which a person declares cherem or hektish, which is all included in the general parsha and the mesechta of erchin, where we talk about how you evaluate something a person wants to give to hektish. Was called inyan erchin. The entire concept of how you go about someone that declares something hektish is verbunden mit tam v'seichel. This is all based on our analyzation and our assessment of what exactly should belong to hektish and what not. Mishat stop, as you see, the halacha regarding erchin is you have to evaluate vifus is the shevoi funa zocha mi ben esrim vad ben shishim. The Torah gives us the different ranges of ages of what the value of a person that declares that he wants to give the value of this age bracket to be hektish from the age of 20 to the age of 60 and so on. Vifu funa nekeva v'chulu, and then what would be the value of the ages when it is by a female. So these are all various different evaluations and assessments regarding what is included over here in the term that was used to be makter something. And also their value and what they are in the years earlier than what was mentioned here or later on. The value of a person, the kayin has to come and use his mind to see and evaluate what was meant here with this dedication. With this pledge, the erech behema, and also to evaluate the value of an animal that was being dedicated, the erech hakayin isegaymer. So we're talking here about a kayin that's using his knowledge and his assessment, his intellect, to see how this should take effect, what he does owe, what he does not owe in this pledge. That inyan atam v'atas. Furthermore, this idea that this is all based on the awareness and the seichel of the person is da zeifel negeya, is something which is so relevant here, not only regarding the assessment of the kohen to assess what the yid now owes with this pledge, but furthermore regarding the person that made the pledge. Biz severat ahalacha gleich betchilas mesecht erichin. This is a halacha that is right in the first mishnah of erichin. Hakol ma'arichin. Everybody could be ma'arich. Everybody could dedicate the hektish by dedicating a certain value. So what is this? The hakoil, the term hakoil lasuya mai. What is this coming to add? Lasuya muflis samuchlish. This refers to someone that's at the age of 12 and older, even though he's not yet a gadol, but he's old enough that he has the knowledge and understanding of what he's saying, so the halacha of erechin applies to him. The whole inyan of erechin, this mode of declaring something hektish, is all based on assessing and evaluating what this value is, and it's only possible to pledge if you are aware of exactly what your pledge is all about. That's how it takes effect. That's what's unique about the erechin, and more broadly, including this also the steachuzes, steachherem, which are various options of how a person can be makdish something to hektish. Similar, we apply also regarding the charamim. It's in the same parsha, this week's parsha, and in the mesechta of erechin. As the gedarim v'dinim shalahem, zenin nitkin zeres hakosef. When we look at the things that define these halachas of charamim and the halachas, the dinim, it's not just to be taken as a gzeres hakosef, where the Torah declares and decrees this is a halacha when it could take effect, when it doesn't take effect. No mitzadatam. These halachas here are unique in the sense that we should apply our evaluation and assessment logically whether it should or should not take effect when the Torah. So the same here, underiber, learn the Rambam. So therefore, the Rambam applies this approach as well here. The Rambam understands the conclusion of the last words of the Gemara in Erechin. Kamash melon achuzasai in char meiloi. When the Gemara says that there's a distinction between the achuzah, that property that the Kohen owns that he got from the cities, and Cheren, which is the properties that he got as a Steach Cheren from another Yid that gave it to him, that it's different. What does the Gemara really mean to say about this? As das is verbunden mit dem Tam Yuchad, was is da becherma. The Gemara is not simply saying a drasha from a Pasuk as a decree, as a Gzeres HaKosev with no reason. But the Pasuk is actually teaching us over here something logical that we should distinguish between a property that he owns from before and the property that he got later as a steach eden. As the Rebbe explained before, the logical reason for the difference. And that's how the Rambam brings out here and teaches us this new halacha that we understand from this. As chermoy ken akoyin ye machrim zayin. That a property that the koyin got as a steach eden, he can declare this as cherem, even though by a steach chuzza that he owns from before, he cannot. Here the Rebbe concludes this inyan, focusing here on the last point regarding the nature of these kinds of pledges that one makes to hektish, and also the steichedem, that this is all based on the evaluation and the assessment logically of what's included in this. And this is connected to a story with Rav Hillel Paracha. This is Yudua the Sipur mit Rav Hillel Paracha. It's known, the story of Rav Hillel Paracha, that was a chassid of the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek, that Zayin de Kayungaman, when he was yet at a young age, hatte gewollt sehen dem Alten Rebbe. He had a desire to see the Alten Rebbe. So he came to a place where he thought he would meet the Alter Rebbe, and he prepared a question in the Gemara in Erechin to ask by the Alter Rebbe. Vino the Alter Rebbe is reingegangen in Zimmer, wo Rav Hillel hat sich gehad behalten. As soon as the Alter Rebbe walked into the room where Rav Hillel Paracha was hiding there, hat Rav Hillel the head with the Alter Rebbe zogt benigena yedua, and he heard that the Alter Rebbe that saw with Ruach HaKodesh that Rav Hillel Paracha is there, and the Alter Rebbe said with a famous melody that he would say things, as a young man, hotakash in Erechin, when if a young man he is here and he comes to ask me a question on Erechin, daf er frier zich meirich sein. Let him first evaluate himself. In other words, let him first evaluate himself of what he's doing, how he's serving Hashem. That's what the Alter Rebbe said, and Rav Hillel Paracha immediately fainted, I believe the story goes, and he didn't get to meet the Alter Rebbe ever. What the Alter Rebbe said here to Rav Hillel was actually a lesson and a guidance to Rav Hillel Paracha for his entire lifetime. And as we see this and the way in his behavior in his life, it's known about Rav Hillel Paracha's behavior in Hidurim und Zehirisim b'Yaisir. He was extremely scrupulous regarding mitzvahs, and also very extremely careful regarding anything that may be associated with any Aveda to a very unusual degree. And this was based on what the Alter Rebbe told him, that he should evaluate his actions, his behaviors, and so on. Avol l'chayre, now however, seemingly looking at the life of Rav Hillel Paracha, of who he really was, apia now, based on what we said before regarding what the Masechta of Erechin really represents. So seemingly they don't fit with the life and who Rav Hillel Paracha was. Is doch der Ein von Erechin verbunden mit Tam Vaskola? Erechin is a mesachta that's uniquely expressing the idea that a person has to use his intellect to assess or to have an awareness to know exactly what he's doing when he's pledging. On the Ikim Maile V'Yisrim von Rav Hillel, on the other hand, though, the main level of what Rav Hillel accomplished in his life in serving Hashem is Garbashtanen and Demos that is given on Oyved Hashem. He was a tremendous servant of Hashem. He worked with himself very, very diligently to be a full, dedicated servant. Unitn Demos that is given on Maskel Nifla. Where he excelled was not necessarily in the fact that he was a tremendous and unusual, wise, intelligent man in his level of understanding of in his connection to Hashem. That's not how his connection to Hashem expressed itself in the Haskalah, in his understanding. Rather, it was more in his diligence, in his service, of his dedication, in his behavior to Hashem, as pointed out before, his Hidurim and Zehirism and so on. So how does, if so, this relate to the Masechta of Erechin that's focused primarily on the Seichel, on the assessment and knowledge and understanding of the person? Is the Bir Bezeh, the answer to this is, as he and his son is. This is actually the whole point here. B'shas menezich meirich. The Alter Rebbe says that one has to evaluate himself. We're not talking here about the fact that one has to evaluate and use his understanding to understand godliness. The Alter Rebbe says you should be evaluating yourself. When one uses his intellect to reflect upon himself, then you come to the understanding and to the conclusion as ikra avayda is neiterim from tam vadas, that the primary focus of your service for Hashem should not be what you understand and what's reasonable to you, nor kabbalah soil, rather to accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven. Zayin and oyved Hashem, you come to the conclusion the main thing is the full unconditional dedication to Hashem, and that's what Rav Hillel came to through using the power of Erechin, the power of him assessing himself and realizing that he should be fully dedicated to Hashem. This is also expressed in the conclusion of the Masechta, which discusses this way of pledging and dedicating something to Hashem by declaring something to be Chayrim. At his machrim, when one declares chayrim, what this includes really is nitnar din achasim. He's not only declaring his properties, his possessions, as on the top, hano habim fun nichse gashmi yisaylam lashon helim, that he doesn't want to have any benefit of these possessions of the physical world. The world represents concealment, disconnected of Hashem. So the person wants to disassociate from that. Naroich koiches nafshay chayrim. When one wants to disassociate from all of this, it includes also his own faculties, that his own koiches that Hashem gave him should not be immersed in these things of the world. Azayzon zayim b'rishus adaynov kedoshim umuvdalim from the yoni olamaze. And rather that they, his own koiches of his nefesh, looking at himself to be meirich oneself, that they should be separated from the things of the world and belong to the Master, to Hashem. Biz boy koifin chermi kainim. To the degree that this should be on the level of the Cherem Kainim as Ein Lam Pidyin, the halachi regarding the Cherem of the Kainim is, once a Yid declares something to be Cherem, it belongs to the Kain, there's no way of redeeming this. Lo Yimachav Lo Yigal, it's not sold and it's not redeemed. Now this is different than all other Hektish. Every Hektish that belongs to the funds of Hektish, you always have the possibility to redeem it. But when you declare something to be Cherem and it belongs to the Kainim, you cannot redeem it. Which means, Zeverin Kedusha Sakuf, it becomes completely holy. Something it's dedicated with no way back. Biz al darach misiz gevem by Rav Hillel. And this is like it was in the life of Rav Hillel, as mitzad goydel zihirusay umprishus unan yaylam haza. That is a tremendous level where we're so careful and totally separated from worldly matters. Hatzain guf alein gefield vasadavton umviadavton. His very body itself automatically sensed exactly what he has to do and how he has to do it, without having to pay attention and force his body to do so. He was totally and completely there, dedicated to Hashem. Umbishast yanhoga von ayiden is boy from kazeh. When a Yid's behavior is in this manner, as that is machrim in yonav agashmiim, that he gives away all of his physical powers that he has, the kachais of aruchniim, and the spiritual powers that he has, his kachais is be'ofen shel kedusha v'avdolah anal, to totally separate and give it to Hashem, is a sazoy b'mekoshkein in zayn dibur kapshutay. Most definitely, this includes also his speech, which is what's relevant over here regarding the whole union of chayrem, as we learned before from the chinuch, that really the term of chayrem has a negative connotation. As that is nizer b'dibure b'yaser, that he is extremely careful in the words that come out of his mouth. Und es ist nicht scheich, als es soll herausgehen von seinem Meul, a losche von Hepech abbrochen. And it's impossible that anything that comes out of his mouth should have any association with anything that's the opposite of blessing. As you see here, the Rebbe himself, as always, the Rebbe would say this expression of Hepech abbrochen. Und demot ist bei ihm, rak teuwe v'shefa abbroche, and then using the language of the Chinuch, he will have only goodness and an abundance of blessing, biz b'oifim, this is by Kayanim and Levim, and then as it is by the Kayanim and Levim, which we're talking about over here, that can declare this chayrim, was kol ish Yisrael, asher nod v'ruchai, ken detzu tzukumen. Every single yid that his spirit has this desire, can reach to be like a Kayan and a Levi, lihibadl, to be separated, lamed lefnei Hashem, l'sharsev v'lo'avdechulu, to separate and stand in front of Hashem, to serve Him. V'zdemol, tarezen, iskadish, kodesh, kadoshim, and then He becomes completely like the Holy of Holies, v'yiyeh, Hashem l'chelke v'nachlasai, Hashem will be your portion and your inheritance, lo'ilam l'olmei alamim, forever. O'noich, kol nuchasov, and then this includes all of your possessions, u'pshita kol b'nei beisai, and obviously, his very own family. Zenezei gufe, that they themselves now become sheichin beis adoina of mokim abrocha v'chesed v'atoiv. They are in the possession of Hashem, the place of blessing, kindness, and goodness. When as kumta arop, when this comes down, it's materialized, betoiv ha'nirva nigle, with open and revealed good, bebane chaye mezoine reviche, with the children and health and sustenance, in the most abundant manner, v'yiratzen, may it be the will of Hashem, l'chol b'nei u'b'nei yisrael, for all Yidden all over the world, b'chol makim shehem.